This podcast may contain language that's not appropriate for all listeners. Listener discretion is advised. Today we're doing Love to the Rescue. So if you haven't seen it and don't want us to ruin it for you, you might want to pass on this one, and we will see you next time.
Oh, are you ready
for one dry kiss?
Roof, roof.
You made Melody move.
Welcome to One Dry Kiss, our cussy, irreverent love letter to rom-coms, where we recap one March is going to the dog movies in the month of March. Today we are doing Love to the Rescue, and I am here with my lovely co-host, the one who has the dog that she is loaning me, Miss Melody, Tamara Cosio.
I am not loaning her to you. She just happened to stick her butt next to you for the whole duration of your visit for some reason. And I am here with Corinne, who is Tam's best friend. Not man's best friend, but Tam's best friend. My co-host, Corinne Edding.
You know, Tam, I gotta tell you that global disruption is here.
What?
Have you not seen that there are blizzards in Los Angeles?
Why, isn't that why you flew over to visit me instead of driving over the Grapevine? Because the Grapevine was closed. Also, gentle listeners, the Grapevine is just north of Los Angeles. That's right. Sunny LA.
Yes, and it's the mountain pass that you have to drive over to get into Los Angeles.
Or
and
fly over in your case.
Yeah, I was hoping when I flew, I'd be able to see all kinds of like snowy vistas. But instead, it was just clouds. White fogginess the entire time.
Yeah, it's been crazy in California, and it's not just us, because I have seen friends that live in Santa Cruz showing video of snow. I have seen people in Fresno, which is full on desert, showing snow. And by Sacramento, it's snowing like the Dickens, to where they had to close down Paradise, where my friend Gina lives. It's just been a madhouse here in the state.
Yeah, I would say less than 2 miles from where I live, there was also big old fluffy flakes of snow falling. So, yeah.
And I know a lot of people on the East Coast are like, suck it up. And we're like, no, no, you don't understand. We're not used to this. We are ill-equipped. Ill-equipped. We don't know what this white stuff is, and we don't know how to deal with it.
I'm like, where I live, it stays between 60 to 70 degrees most of the time. So, you know, that's like, I'm talking about year round. So... Mm-hmm.
Don't even get me started. It's usually 72 or up here. It has been cold. I have had to buy multiple jackets because I've never like owned a jacket in the 10 years I've lived here. And now I've had to make an investment and get some because it's been fucking freezing.
And I showed up to Tam's in a snowsuit. So, you know, there you go.
I had to get in my snowplow to go pick her up. It was great. But Corinne, I think it's important to tell people why you are visiting.
Because I love you so much.
Well, besides that, oh, that's okay. A given.
Tamara and I decided to go on a teensy-weensy local adventure. Not to New York this time. That was not a local adventure. And we are going to see Patrick Hines from True Crime Obsessed at his book party. And very excited about that.
Love Patrick. He is so just lively. And we're going to see him read a chapter of his book and get a copy of his book times two. And I think Corinne even got like special tickets. So we get to meet him and hug him and cling onto his leg and not let him go for the duration of the time that we're with him. Right? Isn't that what comes with that package?
Well, we're obviously going to become best friends with him.
Yeah. Yeah.
By the time this is all said and done.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We've printed some ODK stickers. We're going to tape them all. We're going to stick them all over his body so yes. He can also be a walking advertisement for this podcast.
You know,
he doesn't know that yet, but
but he's going to want to do it just for us because we're that awesome.
Of course. At least wear them like pasties over his nips. That's all we ask. If you don't want to be covered, pasties over nips.
And 100%. It'll be great for his burlesque routine that he's going to do.
Let me just picture that for a second. Hang on. That would be awesome. I doubt it's going to happen, but dare to dream.
Oh, and also really the most important part of my visit down here is I got to meet Tamara's beau, and I shone a spotlight into his face, and I questioned him harshly.
It was tense. It wasn't tense between the two of them, but Corinne was on the couch and Larry was on his, you know, recliner. And I was like between him, like looking back and forth, like, are you guys going to like each other? Are you going to like each other? Are you going to get along? Are you going to like each other? You guys are friends, right? You're going to be BFFs now? Even if I drop out of the picture for some reason, you guys are still going to stay in contact, right? Right?
Totally. completely.
You know,
yeah.
It was a tense afternoon for me. And we only stayed for like 3 or 4 hours. And I was like, yeah, we're going to go. And he was like, you guys can totally stay here at my place if you want. And I'm like, no, can't handle it. My head will explode. Can't do it.
I'm like, she's my friend, not yours.
I need to remove myself from the situation.
Oh, but he was lovely, and I was super happy to meet him, and I'm glad that he was around so that I could. So
yeah, me too. He had a job up north that he was going to go to this weekend, but shocking, he was snowed in, so he couldn't go.
So, Miss Tamara, the question on everyone's mind, your wonderfulness, is do you have a synopsis for us?
Due to my wonderfulness? Yes, I do. We didn't originally anticipate recording today during our visit, but... Yes. Because I got the misinterpreted message from Corinne. We didn't record on our normal day, so she nicely went into the other room and ate cheese and crackers while I wrote this divine synopsis.
It's hard being me having to eat cheese and crackers. Mm-hmm.
Giving me space and time to do the work I should have done 4 days ago. Kate Healy, played by Nikki DeLoach, and her daughter Sophia, played by Michaela Russell, decide they're going to adopt a dog. One dog in particular, a Ruskell pup named Bruce. Sophia gives her reluctant mother a PowerPoint presentation on the merits of adopting a dog. By the way, she's 10. And finally sways her mom to the dog side. That's dog side, not dark side. But all doesn't go as planned when they find out that Eric Smith, played by Michael Rady, and his son Owen, played by Max Ivuten, also have their sights set on adapting Bruce. What do two families with kids that have their hearts set on adapting Bruce do? Flip a coin? No. They agree to share Bruce for 1 month and at the end decide where his forever home should be. But in all the joint custody and pet exchanges, Kate sees a lot of her carefree attitude in little Owen, and Eric sees a lot of his pragmatic sensibilities in Sophia. Then they look up and discover that, hey, their mom/dad ain't so bad either. Now Kate and Eric must battle their growing feelings for each other and for Bruce. Will the families put Bruce in the middle of a large field and see who he runs to in an effort to determine if he should be a Healy or a Smith?
Yes.
Will both parents rehome their children so they don't have to make the difficult decision? Or will the parents say, fuck it, do a mashup Brady Bunch situation to keep the pup with both kids? Find out with us as we decide if it's love to the rescue.
Yay! And now I don't need to do my entire first part of the script. So.
Okay, so let's cut to Tamara's part. It's a Tuesday. I'm just kidding, Corinne. Now it's going to be redundant, but do you want to get us started on love to the rescue?
I would love to. It's morning time and Kate's single mother extraordinaire is working on getting her 10-year-old daughter Sophia out the door for school. But Sophia has something else in mind this morning, a PowerPoint presentation to persuade her mom to get her not just any dog, but a particular dog that is loyal and has been in the shelter for a really long time. Their school is having a pet adoption fair, and today is the last day of it. Kate has obviously been thinking about this and promises her that today they will get the dog. Sophia is thrilled, and they head off to school.
So do you think that Sophia's been working on her mom throughout the whole pet adoption fair, or does she wait till the last day to be like, guess what, mom?
Oh, no. She's been working on her.
Okay.
100%. That is why the mom has a basket of toys for the pupper. Yeah.
She is a persuasive little girl.
I'm sure that she had a multi-tiered plan of attack for any 10-year-old who is doing a PowerPoint presentation for persuasion. Also has like
a corkboard in her room with red string.
Yes.
All the strategies she's going to do and all the days that she's going to execute them.
Absolutely.
Attack! Yes.
That same morning, in a different house, Eric, single dad extraordinaire, is getting his 10-year-old superhero-obsessed son, Owen, ready for school, incentivizing or threatening, depending on your point of view. If you don't get ready soon, no dog for you. He helps his son get ready, making sure that Owen has everything he needs and pumping him up for getting his new pupper.
I looked at this for a second. I'm all pimping him up. Oh, pimp the pumping. Sorry.
No, we don't endorse sex trafficking on One Dry Kiss, okay?
Yes, let me enlarge my screen so that doesn't happen again. Because pimping ain't easy.
No. Bianca, Eric's girlfriend, pops on over to say goodbye before her business trip to Chicago for a month. In a refreshing change, she's not a horrible human being. Instead, she seems really nice, and Owen seems to like her as well. When she finds out that they're getting a dog, she informs Eric that she's really allergic to dogs, but Gamely says that she'll take allergy meds for it. Eric lets his son play the awesome Patrol Pal video game in the other room for a bit so he can have a moment alone with Bianca.
They're going to get it on? Are they going to have sex on the table?
Let's get it on. Absolutely. Are you kidding me? He's going to be enraptured by that video game. They could be like dancing around naked in front of, well, as long as they weren't in front of the screen, he wouldn't even notice.
Oh, God, I forgot. This is a Hallmark movie. That's for sure not happening.
Oh, fine. Dash my hopes and dreams.
There's not going to be any, like, passionate
kitchen quickies.
Yeah, like sweeping the plates off the table so they can fulfill their passions.
I don't know. I think that kitchen quickies are a must for all movies.
They're going to be doing it doggy style.
Thematically appropriate. Ba-dum, boom. Eric thanks Bianca for her patience because he knows he's taking things more slowly with her because he has a kid. Bianca is happy to do it, but is interested to know where their relationship is headed. I mean, she's already at the stage where she just walks into his house, so I'd say they're progressing.
Mm-hmm.
Eric suggests they take the month that they're away from each other to reflect on their relationship and see where it's going. I know I shouldn't feel this way, but time away and reflecting make my heart drop. I'm like, ah!
Yeah.
We're going to reflect on our relationship. Okay.
That sounds like it's going in the opposite direction.
Yeah.
Like, it's not progressing. It's like, we're at a full stop, and now we're going to back away.
Like, if you need that much time to contemplate, I don't know.
I know. I was like, he's gracefully bowing out and using this break as an excuse to do it. You could have gone either way. You could have said, yeah, let's take a break and really reflect on what we are. Or say, like, I'm committed to you, and let's make this a thing. You're going to be gone. I'm going to be here, but we're going to still stay committed. Did I say commit? I'm saying committed
but,
a lot.
But like I would say, we're going to take this time to work out what our next steps are in moving our relationship forward.
While not fucking other people.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think that this was a hall pass kind of situation.
I don't know. I mean, to me, in the normal world, I'd be like, oh, he's got somebody on the side. And he's just like, yeah, we're just going to.
Yeah.
Take a beat to find out where we're going. That's just where my head goes.
Well, I mean, I get it because, you know, I'm on the dating apps and whenever the guy's like, oh, yeah, you know, I'm open to whatever. And I'm like, oh, that just means that you want to have sex. Okay.
Yeah. We had a nice conversation with Larry when I was like, I was trying to go through a hoe phase. And Larry was like, I wasn't. I was looking for a relationship. And I was like, and you won. Congratulations.
Such a Brandy from Let's Go to
Court. I know. We've said that before. I am team Brandy. Hoe phases do not work on me. They repel like water on freaking oily surfaces, which is also like my skin, so it matches.
Aww.
The kids go to school at Oatland Elementary and adults go to work and the day progresses. Eric works as the regional manager of the Department of Parking and Traffic. Fun! He is rocking budgets. While Kate is the creative director of an animation studio, they both have super mysterious jobs because both of their office doors have their names on them.
Ooh.
Kate gets called into her bursar's office.
What? Her bursar's office.
I am channeling my inner dog in this fucking outline and I apologize. Kate gets called into
Wait. Okay, I have an idea.
Oh?
Let's do the entire March is Going to the Dogs month in Scooby-Doo voice.
Oh my God. Okay, Kate, get called into her boss's office where it's apparent that she thinks she's losing her job or getting reprimanded for her cartoons not performing. She wouldn't be reprimanded if she wrote for Scooby-Doo. Great, if I'm Scooby, you get to be Shaggy. But no. Instead, she finds out her short, Light the Way, has been accepted from a 30-second clip to the Georgia Animation Festival. And if she wins, she qualifies to submit for Best Animated Short at the Oscars. The Oscars! Her boss informs her that she just needs to change the ending and asks, how's the ending going? Kate excitedly exclaims, it's a hot mess, and gleefully bounces out of the office to meet with her team. Hopefully they can get the ending together soon, as it's 6 weeks until the, mark that down, 6 weeks, FYI, festival. Her team gives her shit for not embracing a romantic ending to the hero's journey of Light the Way. But she wants to do something unexpected and fresh, because love stories are so last year.
Aww.
Later, her work bestie, Nadia, goes to Kate's office and questions her about her aversion to romance. She's anti, but then doesn't want to say so. Nadia asks, are you sure that your desire to avoid relationships at all cost isn't affecting your judgment around the resolution of your short? Kate's defensive, no, what are you talking about? I love love. Kate's phone rings. It's Liam, her ex-husband, and she picks up and asks if she can put him on mute. He amiably agrees, and Nadia continues, raising a singular brow. You turn down romantic plots at the office. You turn down that super hot guy from the coffee shop. And Kate interrupts, whoa, whoa, whoa. That guy ordered an extra shot, extra hot, extra whipped, sugar-free caramel macchiato. That is not just high maintenance. That is nonsense.
Mm-hmm. Ding, 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 ding. Yes, I agree.
If it takes longer than 5 seconds to order your coffee drink, you are not for me. Nadia parries back. You haven't been out on a date since you and Liam got divorced 5 years ago. And Liam is out there sowing his wild oats. Where are your wild oats? Liam isn't afraid of dating. Liam is whining and dining. Liam interrupts. Liam is still here, not on mute, but for what it's worth, Kate, I totally agree with Nadia. You need to go get your groove on. Oh, Liam, you're supposed to just pretend you're on mute and not butt in, because nobody wants dating advice from their ex. But apparently Kate's okay with it. Nadia leaves saying over her shoulder, I'm just saying. And Kate asks Liam why he called, and he brings up the dog that Kate and Sophia are getting. Kate explains that she's hoping that getting the puppers will help her kiddo loosen up and play a little, or at least give her an additional audience for her PowerPoint presentation obsession. Because if nothing else, a dog is a willing audience.
Yes.
Kate asks, how could an animator and a photographer have raised such a serious kiddo who does PowerPoints and puts the cereal boxes in alphabetical order? They chuckle, and Kate asks if she can pick up Sophia so they can get the dog. He agrees, but reminds her that he's heading out of town for 2 weeks to Bali and thanks her for doing extra parenting duty. Kate says, no problem. Just pick up a nice souvenir for Sophia and not something from the airport. He chuckles, agreeing, and they bid each other adieu.
Oh my gosh, Liam, who we don't see yet in the movie. Liam, he is someone that I would definitely do a kitchen quickie with. Liam, he is my heart. I'm like, why did you let that man go?
I don't know. I mean, they kind of make it seem like she explains why they didn't last before, yeah. But they have such a good relationship and are such good friends that for a little piece of me is like, you could have tried harder and made it work.
No, I mean, I understand, because Chloe and I are not an item. And
yes, your ex Chloe.
Yeah. And we get along gangbusters together, and we have a lot in common, and things are really good between us. And I officiated her wedding. So, you know,
and it's almost, they did say that they got married very young,
yeah.
Liam and Kate. And I do realize the older we get and the more relationships that we see, you know, that got married in their teens and 20s and even sometimes into their 30s, like people change.
Yeah.
Over years and especially decades, people change, their priorities change, and it's really something special if you can find somebody that you want to spend your whole life with, not speaking from experience after ending a career at all. A long career. I mean, career. Relationship.
I know. I was like,
it was like a job.
I
okay.
Was
it was
something.
Like a job.
It was. So was my relationship with Chloe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh. We're fine. We're fine. Mm.
Nobody's twitching over here. We are not like in each other's arms, cowering in the corner, shaking. At
no.
The thought of our past relationships.
Oh, no, not at all. But I will say that, you know, my parents have been married for over 50 years.
Yes.
And the big reason for that is that they supported each other in their goals, mm-hmm. and they were willing to work, like, to change and grow with alongside each other.
Yeah. And that's one thing I was super surprised to find out a long time ago, that you said your dad was moving to go to school and your mom got married to follow him.
Yeah.
And she's like, you told me if that didn't happen, if they didn't have that commitment to each other when they left, that you don't think that they'd be married today. And yeah. I was like, what? Mind blown.
Well, yeah, the beginning of their relationship was really rough, you mm-hmm. know.
And I did not know that at all. Of course, you weren't in the picture, so why would I? But still.
Being, you know, young and figuring things out along the way is a difficult thing. Raising kids together is a difficult thing, mm-hmm. you know.
Oh, right. Stuff what? Like that. Shocking.
Yeah.
Shocking.
But back to Love to the Rescue. And my parents did not need an animal to rescue their love.
Maybe
just FYI.
Your whole life would have been different had they gotten a Bruce in their life. And I'm dooming a dog, not a third person.
Oh, gosh.
Not a third person named Bruce.
Yeah.
Hey, who's there. Sexually fluid.
Ooh. No. It's after school at Oatland Elementary. And I wonder how they came up with the name for this elementary school.
That reminds me of cereal.
I know. Oatland
stays crunchy in milk,
but softens your heart in the best way.
Every time you say Oatland, you have to have a cereal jingle to go with it.
It's after school at Oatland Elementary. Crunchy all day long.
Yes. I'd buy that.
And Eric is volunteering at the school's animal adoption event. He checks in with some official-looking people standing behind a table who say that the event has been a success. There's only one dog and three kittens left. Ruh-roh, I say. Ruh-roh, Rorge.
That is not a kitten community, apparently.
So, yeah, I go ruh-roh because he says he wants a dog and the other family wants a dog, so...
And there's only one dog to be had. Oh,
let's just
cut it in half.
Exactly.
I want the top half. You can have the bottom.
Yes, the wagging tail. I'm here for it.
And the poop.
Oh, dang it. He is feeling triumphant until a teacher, Miss Carla Ramirez, approaches him and lets him know that they have only two parent volunteers for the spring carnival. This is not good. He scans the adoption fair looking for potential victims, volunteers, and gestures to Kate and Sophia, asking Carla, who is she? I don't think I've seen her before. And Carla explains that she is a parent that has escaped the clutches of the PTA. Well, Eric thinks, not on my watch. He approaches Kate and introduces himself, which goes well, and then asks if she'll volunteer at the carnival, which does not go so well. Kate responds, I've been to the carnival for years, and I'm pretty sure that beanbag toss came over on the Mayflower. It hasn't changed at all from year to year.
Because you know what the most important thing at a carnival is? The beanbag toss.
Amen to that.
Yeah.
No, but now it's called cornhole.
Sick burn, Kate. Sick burn.
Yeah, it's trendy now. Eric responds, it hasn't changed because it's great. And if it ain't broke, why fix it? Kate responds, right. So if it's successful, staying the same, you don't need me. Now I'm going to go help out the school by going over there and adopting that dog. She gestures to PowerPoint dog, and Eric's heart skips a beat. Not from love, but from panic. You can't adopt that dog because we're adopting that dog. And in the doggy corral with the PowerPoint pupper are both Sophia and Owen, their kids, doting on it. Eric and Kate aren't sure how to resolve this issue because Owen is now in love with the dog whose name is Bruce, just like Bruce Wayne. He's a superhero pup. And Sophia has had her eye on the pup from the start with her entire PowerPoint presentation. The person from the shelter witnesses the whole thing going down and hastily steps in. She begs them, Bruce is an older dog and the shelter is stressful for him, so he doesn't do the best here. Please, I think we can work something out. And in probably the most implausible moment ever in this movie, she gets Eric and Kate to agree to joint custody of the dog for a month, co-fostering him so that they can figure out which family the dog is better fit for, or as Tamara said, go out into a field and call him and see who he goes to. Both of the kids are thrilled at this resolution. I have a hard time picturing this dog as a senior dog, as it is spazzy and pulls and jumps and is not a trained dog.
I think this is the most convoluted fucking solution I've ever heard, because before the pet adoption person jumps in, like, they were kind of like, we'll go get a different dog. Like, the adults were kind of like nudging their kids to getting a different dog. So then she could have just been like, let's flip a coin. Bruce can go with one of them. The other kid can go get a puppy and probably be just as happy. I must say, my vote is going to go for Owen, because he was like Bruce Wayne, you know what, Owen? Let's get you another dog and you can call him Flash or Aqua Dog or something else that has a superhero connotation. But no, let's try to share the dog and make both of these busy parents' lives more complicated.
Yeah. As I said, the most convoluted part of this whole movie begins right here.
Uh-huh. And let's see how that works out for them, shall we? Yes. Yes, let's. Kate and Sophia have Bruce first, and Kate took the opportunity to work with Sophia on playing with Bruce and working with him where he was at. They had a good time and all was well. Until poor little Sophia decided to look online to see what good games would be to play with Bruce, and sees everybody do what they do best online, which is arguing and making snarky comments. So poor little Sophia at 10 years old learns, when you go online to research, don't ever read the comments.
Oh.
It's never good, Sophia. It's never good.
I like that they had that moment where she, yeah. where the mom was like, remember I told you, you are not supposed to go online without me.
Yeah.
And also never, ever, ever read the comments.
Right. Especially when you're looking at games to play and dog, I imagine that some of the search engine results might not be suitable for a 10-year-old.
Not so family friendly.
No, I guess not.
Is that why I saw a caller over at Larry's place?
I told him to hide that shit. Anyways, back to the carnival planning section of this story. Everything was good until Kate and Sophia had to meet with Eric and Owen. Kate and Sophia casually, but not casually, because Bruce is hella pulling on the leash and the actress is really trying to make it work, walk from one end of the park to the center. Kate pep talking Sophia about how they're going to win Eric and Owen over with kindness and cookies. While Eric and Owen walk from the other end of the park to the center, Eric pep talking Owen about how they should be stoic and remote, not giving Kate and Sophia a chance to get in. When the families meet in the middle, most of the planning goes out the window. Kate tries offering them the cookies, but Eric basically turns them down because he's a dick. Nobody turns down cookies. Sophia tries breaking the ice after she notices Owen's backpack. Is that Captain Hammerhead from the Awesome Patrol Pals? Owen gets excited. Yes, I love him. Sophia says, well, my mom made him. Owen's eyes widen in awe while Kate explains, well, I'm the animator and I thought about him and I drew him and he came to life. Owen looks excitedly at his dad, who thinks, that's cool, but we're losing the upper hand here. So Eric hands Kate laminated sheets on the care of Bruce the dog so they can remain consistent by giving Bruce boundaries and predictability. Fuck you, Eric. Fuck you very much. You
totally
know what?
Sounds like something that I would decide to do.
Okay. I think we had like a difference of opinion on this, because I'm like, okay, if they're sharing the dog, they should each like treat the dog how they see fit. Like, we're going to treat the dog one way.
I have a very different opinion. Yeah.
You treat the dog another way, and then we'll see which household he fares better in, versus like, I know being on the same page, quote unquote, is ideal, because the situation is fucking bananas bonkers crazy. I think they should just each do their own thing, and then wherever the dog is better situated and behaved, that's where he lives.
Dog's going to be confused. It's not going to be in a supportive environment. He needs good co-parents.
I don't know.
They're used to co-parenting. Well, she's used to co-parenting her child, and you got to be on the same page. You make it a loving, caring environment. Stability. The dog pupper needs stability, particularly that pupper who they keep on pretending is like this, oh, the senior dog. I'm like, senior dog my ass.
But it's also only for 1 month, so it's not like they're going to do like permanent damage to the dog for the month where they try to decide whose dog parenting style is best. I say that as Melody licks herself for 45 minutes because I can't break her of it, because she was with my mom first. It was like, lick away, Melody, lick away. Kate thinks that Eric is being extra, but is very polite. And then I put this whole thing that I just said to you, so let me just gloss over that and get to the next section. Their kids eye each other, saying with their eyes, parents, am I right? As Kate and Eric politely battle with each other, with Owen finally asking if he and Sophia can play with Bruce while the parents talk. They agree, as long as the kids stay in sight. And when Owen, Sophia, and Bruce run off, Kate and Eric take the opportunity to negotiate dog training. And that pupper needs it. Kate doesn't want Bruce's spirit broken, and Eric doesn't care. He just wants the dog to get some training, because fuck that dog and trying to walk it. He's a madhouse. He's a madman. So he agrees to let Kate pick the trainer, and they'll go to go with Bruce if she'll volunteer at the spring carnival. Oh, blackmail. Am I right? She agrees only after he bats away all of her excuses. I don't have a sitter. Well, the PTA provides one. What about Bruce? We have to think about him. Bruce is welcome. All dogs are, even the untrained ones at pool. And with that, Eric grabs a container of cookies Kate and Sophia made, gets Owen and Bruce, and they all part ways, leaving Kate holding a bunch of laminated sheets and wondering what the fuck she got into. Next thing we know, we're back at Oatland with all the fiber you need. Elementary, just in time for the PTA meeting about the spring carnival. Kate sits next to a teacher named Carla, who runs a science club that Sophia is a member of. Carla divulges that the science club is going on a field trip to learn about astrology next month, but don't tell anyone, because secrets.
Astronomy.
Oh, no, it's astrology for me. That's the only way I would get excited about it, if it's the astrology club. Okay, fine. The astronomy. To learn about astronomy.
Look, are you a Leo with Virgo rising?
Yes.
Oh, shit. Back away, girl. Back away.
I am a Gemini with Scorpio tendencies.
Oh!
Okay, fine. Astronomy. Kate excitedly nominates herself to chaperone. Carla conspiratorially asks if Kate's an astronomy. Not astrology, Tamara. Nerd. And she sucks all the air out of the room. I have been obsessed with constellations since I was 10, which works for both astronomy and astrology. They lock eyes and say excitedly, did we just become best friends? And then the meeting starts. Corinne wrote, I wonder if they're trying to pass the Bechdel test with this moment. And Tamara wonders where the fuck Kate's going to find the time. She has an award-winning cartoon to produce. She's just adopted a dog with the second family. She's volunteering for the PTA and field trip chaperone. And it's just going to get worse. This must be one of those other Hallmark universes, much like Marvel, where there's 36 hours in a day instead of 24. Carla and Eric sit at the front of the room while Eric leads the meeting, assigning people to their roles as usual until he gets to Kate, who he assigns to the silent auction, which honestly sounds like the worst fucking responsibility. Corinne, thoughts?
Oh my God, seriously? I was like, oh, he is sticking it to her, mm-hmm. because you've got to go and get all this shit for free from people.
Yes.
Making phone call after phone call after phone call. Like, that is not something you do on your own. Yeah. Come on.
Getting shut down. Would you like to support Oatland?
It's fresh, it's fun, and it has zinc for one.
Elementary school. In our silent auction? No, click. Good times. So Kate gets assigned the silent auction since she's got, understandably, all sorts of questions, and it's very evident she has no idea what a silent auction is.
Yeah.
But once you get Kate going, she's a force that can't be stopped. When she finds out that she's in charge of getting all the auction items, she says, okay, so what's the theme for the carnival? Eric looks at her blankly. Spring. It's a spring carnival. Kate shakes her head. No, you need something more enticing than that. She sits down next to Eric in the front of the room, like pirates or space. He tries brushing her off, but Carla encourages Eric to take a vote. He begrudgingly states, all of those who want a theme for the spring carnival, raise your hands. Kate shoots her hand up, waving it around, and the room full of parents raise their hands as well. Eric sighs deeply. Okay, at our next meeting, we'll talk about theme ideas. Is there anything else? Kate waves her hand in the air again, and he reluctantly calls her, but she grins excitedly and states, I think we need to talk about funnel cake.
Yeah, we do.
Eric bangs his gavel because no, they don't. And perhaps Kate is peacocking a little because she has felt the power of the PTA. And with that, the meeting is adjourned.
Oh, we all need to talk about funnel cake. Are you kidding me?
Oh my God, I hated that part because it made me want funnel cake. And every time I hear it, I want funnel cake. And I don't want to talk about funnel cake. I want to eat funnel cake.
I love funnel cake.
Me too.
Some of my fondest memories of Great America are having funnel cake with you.
Oh, with the sugar, the powdered sugar.
And the strawberries.
Fruit on top.
Yes.
Yeah.
Later, when Aaron, Owen, Kate, and Sophia are meeting up for their Bruce swap, Eric and Kate chat on a park bench. Eric is remarking on her presence in the PTA meeting, and Kate laughs. You know it's your fault. I wouldn't have joined the PTA if we hadn't made the agreement. Eric protests. Yes, but I wasn't expecting you to create a mutiny.
You made the bed, honey. Now you gotta lay in it.
Kate pish-poshes him. Carla said the meeting can use a bit of new energy in it. Eric is hurt. Carla said that? Kate replies, well, you have everything so automatic. She studies his face intently and says, yep, I'm looking at you and I don't see a trace of fun.
I have to stop you right there because during this scene, they have the kiddos in the back playing with Bruce.
Uh-huh.
And the parents are sitting on a bench kind of away from them to have this conversation. And this is the worst parenting move I have seen in a Hallmark movie in a long time. They are facing away from their kiddos. Their kids are playing in the back and they have their backs to them.
Well, they have Bruce protecting them. Bruce Wayne, the Batman dog. So,
yeah. Or they're like, if their kids get kidnapped, we don't have to deal with this dog mess.
And you know, Bruce would be like, ruh-roh, ruh-reader, stand back.
Or maybe somebody will steal Bruce. And then we'll be like, well, that's settled. We're just going to get two new dogs for our families.
Done. Problem solved.
Yes.
the children would not be devastated at all.
Mm-mm. See, I also want to point out that because they have this whole joint custody thing with Bruce, it's just going to let one or both the kids get really, really attached to it before they have to cut one off.
I agree.
They should have just flipped a coin at the beginning.
Yes. That's why I called it the most implausible part of this whole movie.
Let me get you super, super attached to this animal before I rip him away from you.
Seriously. Eric is all full of, what the fuck? I'm tons of fun. As a matter of fact, I'm going on a hike this weekend with Owen. It's going to be great, and it'll ultimately lead us to the great view where I can check out a set of traffic patterns I haven't seen before.
Fun.
Ooh.
Knows how to have a good time.
I know. Kate cocks her head to the side. What do you do for a living? He sheepishly admits. The Department of Traffic, Kate points. Exactly. Ha, you're working. Eric sighs, feeling defeated. Okay, well, would you and Sophia like to join on our hike with Owen and his boring dad? It'll give Sophia a bit more time with Bruce. Kate realizes that much like Bobby and Bros, that calling someone boring, perhaps not the way to go. I know. She didn't mean to hurt his feelings. She thought she was playfully giving him shit, but obviously she went a step too far. She agrees, and the next day the foursome goes on a hike. Owen gleefully playing red light, green light with Kate, while Eric and Sophia sit on a bench eating granola bars together, watching them. Eric compliments Sophia. That was great how you gave Bruce a treat after he sat. Sophia looks at him seriously. Rule 7. Don't tell Mom, but I really like how you laid everything out. I like knowing exactly what to do.
Aww.
She sees her mom call red light to Owen, and he stops briefly, only to start running around before green light. Sophia turns to Eric. He didn't stop on red light. How can you win if you don't follow the rules? Eric glances at his son, having a blast, and he says, well, here's more about having fun than winning. Sophia looks at her mom and Owen and responds somberly, yeah, my mom too. Eric and Sophia look at each other with appreciation, seeing kindred spirits, and continue to watch their free-spirited counterparts play while Eric and Sophia munch on their granola bars. At the end of their hike, they all get ice cream. Eric and Kate talk about careers. Eric admits to not being passionate about his job, and Kate asks him, what did you want to be when you grew up? Eric scoffs, no one is who they thought they were going to be when they were younger.
Much like what's a great line from Bros, where...
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Is this like the inspiration behind Bros?
I always wanted to be
making tiny little chocolates.
When he wanted to be a lawyer, or he was a lawyer.
Oh, yeah.
Where Ryan said that he always wondered as a kid, oh, I wonder what it would be like to help people find out who they're going to give their shit to when they died. I want to be a part of that. Give their shit to when they died. I want to be a part of that.
Such a great line. We've already established what we wanted to be when we were younger.
We wanted to be a park ranger, and I wanted to be a detective.
Corinne wanted to be a park ranger, and I wanted to be a detective.
Maybe we could have merged our powers and figured out mysteries.
Maybe we could have merged our powers and figured out mysteries.
Wait, that's already a movie.
Our show.
Never mind.
Oh,
wait, that's already
we can join the cast. How about that?
That sounds like a plan.
Yeah.
But then we'd be actors.
That sounds like a plan. Yeah, and we'd get paid a hell of a lot more than we do now, so.
Which is nothing.
Kate giggles mischievously. I'm doing what I wanted to do as a kid. Eric shakes his head. Of course she does. He chuckles. Okay, we can't all be that lucky. Kate looks at him intently. I don't think luck has anything to do with it. You figure out what you want to do and you chart a course. Eric chuckles. That was beautiful nonsense. But Kate pushes back. Seriously, if you figure out what you want most, then you can figure out a way to get it. Eric gets serious and confesses, I know it sounds boring, but I had an internship in college where I got to work as an affordable housing advocate. And it was work that I really believed in. She looks at him and states, so, this superhero thing runs in the family. Nothing boring about that. He looks at her with newfound appreciation, and they continue eating their ice cream.
I just have to echo Kate here, because I am a graphic designer. I've always wanted to be, well, when I was younger, I wanted to be a graphic designer, and I think I've said it before on this podcast. Back in the early 90s, Tamara wanted to be a graphic designer, but then those pesky computers got in the way. So she sat back and said, you know what? I'm going to wait a few years until this computer craze dies out, and then I'll pursue it again. And we all know how that turned out.
Great. Totally great.
there has been moments where I've been at work sitting at my desk drawing and have lost hours and have been like, this is so cool because I actually get to draw for a living and get paid for it.
Aww.
On Monday, Kate surprises her team with coffees and three new endings that she storyboarded up last night.
Yay.
She asks them to go to the conference room, and as they head there, work bestie Nadia pulls her aside and asks, how is your hike with the power tripping PTA dad? Kate confesses, you know, he's way more relaxed than I thought he'd be. And while the hiking sucked, when we talked over ice cream at the end of the hike, it was actually kind of lovely. That evening at the PTA meeting, Kate has an entire Candyland theme idea going that she storyboarded out. Eric isn't wild about it, but everyone else is. So they're going to make it happen. That sounds like an amazing theme for a fucking elementary school carnival, Candyland.
Oh, yes, please. I know. Seriously.
Mm-hmm. After the meeting, Kate informs Eric that tomorrow evening at 7 p.m., they're going to the Dog Obedience School. She found a school. It's got great reviews, and it's called Fuzzy Time Friends.
Ooh.
We cut to Fuzzy Friends Time, where the instructor has everyone with their dogs in a circle, and she's instructing them to breathe deeply and center themselves. I'm pretty... I shudder at saying this because we're actually in our apartment and my roommate is next door. But Corinne wrote, I'm pretty sure this is where David and Daniel took their dog Cerberus. Gentle listeners, my lovely roommate David and Daniel have a dog Cerberus that is the most yippity pulley dog that you'll ever see. And they did take him to dog training and obviously it did not stick. Kate gets the hang of it right away. She's centered as fuck, but Eric, he most definitely is not, and demanding Bruce sit, sit, sit. Surprisingly, it isn't working.
What?
Kate gets Eric to breathe, and when he says sit again, it works. They banter with each other about the power of breath to get through tricky situations until the instructor interrupts. Ooh, someone's in trouble. Mm-hmm. And we'll find out exactly how after the break. And we're back. Before the break, Kate and Eric were playfully bickering with each other until their teacher interrupts. The other dogs in the room can sense when they're not receiving their full energetic focus, so if you can please save the flirting for after class, that would be great. Kate doth protest, perhaps a little too much. No, 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 no flirting? No, Eric explains. We share the dog, and I've got a girlfriend, and Kate has... Kate finishes the sentence. My job. I have my job. No flirting here. She slowly backs away, backs away, backs away. I'm just going to go so I don't ruin the vibe of the class with my not flirting. And Eric is left standing with Bruce, feeling awkward. Their conversation didn't seem like flirting to me. I think that instructor was projecting. Corinne?
I feel like they were bantering with each other. And banter can be flirt. It can be not flirt. I feel like what they were doing was not inappropriate at all. Like, no. And there may have been like a little bit of flirtation under there, but it was not. I didn't think, oh, he is stepping out on his, you know, girlfriend. Like neither nothing like that. No.
Neither did I. It's not like they were like looking each other deeply in the eyes and going, go get your dog. You go get your dog. I'll get your dog for you if you want. No, that's your dog. And so on and so forth.
There was no kiss tractor beam activated.
No kiss tractor beam for anybody. Yeah. Not even the dog. They didn't even get a lick from little old Bruce. I'm sure if there was some bad flirting going on that he would have sensed it and would have been all over him, humping legs, trying to get sloppy kisses.
You keep on trying to turn love to the rescue into a throuple situation. I just keep on saying it is not tender.
Yet. Give me time. You haven't gotten to the end of my outline.
Oh, okay.
Maybe I have an alternate ending that you don't know about. I don't. Later, the PTA is gathered at the school getting ready for the Candyland Carnival, and Kate is talking with Carla. Eric pops over briefly, asking if he can drop by her work tomorrow, as he forgot to get Bruce's favorite toy, Moo Cow. I would not do that. I would just go buy another Moo Cow because that sounds like a whole lot of trouble to get something.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just me. Kate says that won't be a problem, and he walks away towards a cluster of PTA women, who he greets warmly, and they gather around him and Bruce the dog. They're all chatting amicably, and Kate asks Carla, is there something wrong with me? He is so nice and warm to the other women, but when I talk to him, it's like I'm talking to a wall.
Mm.
Carla glances over at the love fest going on with Eric, Bruce, and the PTA parents and says, you know, he's known them for a really long time. And when Amy died, they brought him casseroles, babysat, and supported him in so many ways.
Aww.
Kate asks, Amy? And Carla explains, Amy was his wife. She was a teacher here at Oatland. Seems really appropriate to put a cereal jingle here. Elementary, and she was my best friend. Corinne starts to cry. Tamara feels remorseful that she couldn't come up with a banter cereal jingle, and Kate expresses her sincere condolences. Carla says thank you. She was just one of those people who made you feel loved. She was grounded and steady, but there was a light about her. You push him outside of his comfort zone like Amy did, and that's good for him. He needs a friend like you. And a breakfast cereal like Oatland Elementary.
And all of my tears.
Oatland Elementary. Why use milk when you can use the tears of Corinne?
Amen. Amen.
Salty goodness that you didn't know you needed.
Tears of love. Yeah, that's right. I said it. Eric drops by Kate's office to pick up Moo Cow and immediately starts fidgeting with the toys on Kate's desk. She goes to grab Moo Cow but can't find him. After verbally retracing her steps, she realizes that she left him at home, and Eric suggests a different plan where she drops it by his office at the end of the day. It's a plan, but first he pops behind her desk to see what she's working on. That's totally cool. And sees an animation of two cartoony fireflies signaling each other with their glowing hinies.
Aww.
She talks about how she's been struggling with the ending, and Eric quickly responds, well, is it a comedy or a drama? If it's a comedy, they get together in the end. And if it's drama, they're torn apart.
Or one dies.
Oh, well, that's being torn apart.
I know. He should have said that, though, to really drive the point home. Oh, like just my Amy.
Yes.
Amy!
Amy! Why did you go? Why did you leave? Kate pish-poshes him. This is not a love story. Eric protests. It totally is. Do you see the way they're looking at each other? And with that, he heads back to work.
And I would not be coordinating any other way to get Moo Cow. I'd be like, where did you get that Moo Cow? Because I came all the way over here to get the toy that you forgot to bring. So it was an unnecessary trip. I'm just going to go get my own so we don't have to worry about this in the future. Eric, amen, being the person that he is, I'd be like, that is exactly what he's going to do. Not be like, let's coordinate another time for me to try to get it for you.
Amen.
Thank you. Preach.
Amen. 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 Hallelujah.
Which stop. We do breakfast jingles and hymns here.
No, I think that your solution is a really good one.
Right?
Shockingly, I did not actually think of that.
I think it's just the Los Angelino in me, because I'm like, how long did it take you to get there, Eric, with the fucking traffic and the goddamn snow that's here? You already have to give the dog back and forth and make all those extra trips, and now you go to get the one thing that's going to calm Bruce and his freaking demeanor, and she forgot it. And now you have to go back to work. It's fine. It's fine.
Yeah, that senior dog who just...
the senior dog that just needs it for comfort as he sleeps.
Uh-huh. By, like, running around frantically and spazzing out.
That's not at all chewing up all your furniture.
At one point in time, this dog, like, almost knocks down the little girl, like...
Yeah. She's like, I love Bruce. Oh. Bruce is great. Get the rest of the dog. I'm not running away from it. He's not pulling me. Everything's fine.
Oh my gosh. Those kids aren't playing with Bruce. They're like trying to stand there and act animated with him while like holding on for dear life.
They're trying to wrangle Bruce.
Seriously.
I can see, like, that's why they... The actors have their backs to him, because like in the background you see the kids like, oh, Bruce, and then they run across the screen of vision, and then you're sure they're getting dragged.
Seriously.
And bit and jumped on and freaking like the dog is having its way with them, but we don't see that.
No, we
they
do
probably
not.
Had like a wider shot, but they had to keep narrowing it and to like cut out the fucking Bruce drama.
Bruce was like 1, maybe 2 years old. Like, not literally
an elderly
puppy
dog,
but like still in the puppy zone. You know, it's like, it's when they're past the puppy paws, they're done with their teething, but they still act like a fucking puppy.
You know what? They need Melody. I think I need to start renting out Melody to Hallmark. You want to see an elderly dog?
There you go.
Let me show you what that looks like.
Aw, Melody's the best. After Kate picks up Sophia from school, they drop by Eric's office with Moo Cow. Oh, and by the way, I think they live in Hallmark Land, where everything is like 5 minutes from each other.
Yeah, it must be, because they are not nearly annoyed enough at all the trips they have to take for this dog.
After Kate picks up Sophia from work. They drop by Eric's office with Moo Cow, and Sophia asks, "Do you have any toys like Mom?" Eric smiles softly, "I wish." And his assistant, who is also in the room, says to Sophia, "We may not have toys, but we have a model of the light rail. Do you want to see it?" Sophia is very excited by this and heads off with Eric's assistant. Once Eric and Kate are alone, Eric says, "I think I have a solution to your problem." Kate is dubious. "Oh, really?" Eric is certain. "Yes. You said it was a story about courage, and love is the perfect motivator for courage. When you have a good partner, you have a safe space to land so you can spread your wings and take more risks." Kate mulls it over. She's still not convinced, but they don't have a chance to hash it out more as Bianca surprises Eric by dropping by his office. Her business trip wrapped up early, like 2 weeks early.
I was going to say, I'm like, how much time has passed?
And we know how much time has passed because within that day, Liam has come back and he was gone for 2 weeks. So,
God, Bianca must be a fucking banner attorney. Ooh. If she can like wrap up cases 2 weeks early.
For real. Bianca and Eric were supposed to talk about the state of the relationship over the phone, but now they can do it in person. Eric is excited to see her, but can't just drop everything to go out with her. Kate quickly offers, "I can take Owen. You go." They agree to drop off Owen on the way to their date, and Kate backs out of the room, awkwardly, to find Sophia, who will be super thrilled to spend the evening with Owen.
See, this also just solidifies my theory that Eric is like, we're kind of on our way out. And Bianca's like, oh, I finished early. I'm here. Let's talk about it in person. And he's like, oh, I got a kid and I can't make it. And before Kate jumps in, I'll do it. Great. Thanks. I'll see you tonight. Reunited and it feels so good.
Ooh.
Later that same day, Liam comes back from Bali and he's brought an appropriate but noisy gift for Sophia. Thanks, Liam. He meets Bruce, and while Bruce and Sophia are playing in the backyard, while Bruce is attacking Sophia in the backyard, he chats with Kate. Bruce asks, "Can Sophia come home with me tonight?" Kate is about to say yes, but then says, "Oh, no, I'm sorry. Owen's coming over tonight. I'm babysitting him for his dad so he can go on a date." She talks excitedly about Eric, and Liam looks at her with a twinkle in his eyes. "You like him."
Ooh.
She balks. "No, no, 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 no. And also, he has a girlfriend." Liam is insistent. "I've known you since the seventh grade, and you like him." Kate and Eric sitting in the tree. K-I-S-S-I-N-G. "And also you're babysitting his kid so he can go on a date?" She's about to protest, and then her brain hamster starts creaky, 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 going on the wheel, and she realizes, shit,
fuck,
I do like him. And why didn't we decide to get a brain hamster instead of this fucking dog?
Seriously.
Bruce, that is terrorizing the neighborhood now. He's chased away the mailman. He's chewed a hole in my neighbor's wall.
And when we're gone, he spends his whole time.
He's bitten three people. I really want Eric and Owen to take him, honestly. Please take the dog.
Twitch, twitch, twitch.
Yeah. The story could have gone so many ways. Owen and Sophia have a blast balloon painting in Kate's backyard. Oh, my nephew did this with my niece. It was so much fun. My niece is significantly older than her brother, and she's always trying to find like fun ways to engage him,
yeah.
Which is why they get along so good. And so she put like a big canvas and pinned balloons filled with paint on it and let Aiden smack the hell out of them until they splattered into these Aww. Really interesting constellations. And now that picture still hangs in his wall, and he still talks very fondly about that day when they did the splatter paint together.
That's so good.
I know. So that's the same thing they're doing here. In Kate's backyard, while Eric and Bianca go on their date and talk about the status of their relationship, it's non-existent. Bianca talks about a couple back at her office that are always bickering, but she came to the office late one night and saw them slow dancing, talking sweetly to each other, and it made her realize that while she really likes Eric and they get along great, there's no zha-zha-zha. Zha-zha-zhu.
Zha-zha-zhu.
Zha-zha-zhu. Zha-zha-zhu. Which we cover in episode 7 as the problem with the relationship in It Was Always You.
That's the one where she was involved with the dentist. And there was no zing. There was no zha-zha-zhu.
Yeah, but that dentist was boring as fuck. I mean, I know Eric's not the most exciting guy in the world, but I think that him and Bianca can make it. If they both committed to each other, I think it's probably on his half that he's not. And that's why she's not feeling the va-va-voom, because he's not giving it to her fully. Mm. And I don't mean that in a sexual
give it
way.
To me. Give it to me. Give it to me.
Give it to me. Funk yourself. Hey. That slow love jam that we all love to dance to.
That kitchen quickie jam.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Eric realizes that she's right and confesses, you know, I never really liked you anyways. I'm just kidding. He says, you know, I'm kind of relieved. Whenever I thought about having this conversation with you, I didn't know what to think. And that should have been enough of a sign. We all saw it coming. Mm-hmm. Sorry to say, Eric. They end up parting ways as beautifully and amicably as humanly possible, and it's kind of incredible. When Eric goes to pick up Owen from Kate's house, he looks at her with her paint-splattered shirt, and he gets a moment of zing when he realizes that Kate is the person he feels passionately towards. He picks up Owen, who is sleeping on the couch, and leaves Bruce behind because fuck that dog. Just kidding. Even though it's his family's turn with Bruce. Thus, the whole moo cow toy debacle and Kate offering to babysit in the first place. I'm confused, but I'll let it go. Corinne, since you wrote the outline, would you like to elaborate on that?
I mean, I think I said it pretty clearly.
Why did I have to get that stupid moo cow, huh? Why did we go through all that? If the dog is even just staying here.
I know. Now she doesn't have the moo cow. What about that?
And I would imagine dog custody is pretty confusing in general and should not be done ever.
At a later date, Kate and Eric start talking about what to do about Bruce. They haven't made any decisions, but the person at the animal shelter is happy with either one of them adopting him. Later at Oatland Elementary, the breakfast cereal will crunch. Both Owen and Sophia promise that if they get Bruce, they'll share him.
It's so funny that this like shelter person's like, I don't care who gets him. Bruce is out of my hands. So.
He was a handful. He acted like a puppy, even though he was apparently a senior dog.
Let me just come in here and stir the pot and give you both a bunch of responsibility that you don't need and then gracefully bow out. You're welcome. If Bruce indeed was an elderly dog, I would hate to see him as a puppy.
Oh my gosh. Terror. Terror.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Larry told me, like, I didn't know. Your dog sleeps like 22 hours a day. And I'm like, yeah, I know. She's like 17 years old. Yeah. It's like, fucking, what do you want her to do? Jesus.
And dogs spend most of their time sleeping, just period.
Yeah. And she has bad hips. Leave her alone. Which incidentally makes her walk so much cuter because she shakes her butt a lot.
Yeah, she's a Beyonce dog.
She is a Beyonce dog.
Uh-huh.
I don't think you're ready for this jelly.
Exactly.
Her booty is bootylicious. Yes, it is.
Later, Sophia, Kate, and Bruce are at the park waiting for Eric and Owen for their weekly Bruce swap. Sophia is walking Bruce while Kate sits on a bench, sketching and glancing up at Sophia and Bruce. Eric and Owen arrive. Owen rushes over to Bruce and Sophia. And Eric rushes over to Kate, apologizing for being late. She distractedly replies, "No worries, I got here early and have just been sketching, trying to clear my head. What's going on with you? You're not usually late." He pretends that he's fine, but after some prodding, confesses that he's been distracted. There's this job that opened up in housing advocacy, but there's been so much change recently with the dog and Bianca and I breaking up that I don't want to throw anything else into the mix. Kate feigns surprise. "Oh, you and Bianca broke up? I'm so sorry to hear that."
Wipes imaginary tear away.
Sniffle, sniffle. Eric eyes her suspiciously. "You knew. I'm betting Carla told you." Kate smiles relieved. "Yeah, Carla did, but I am sorry." Wipes second imaginary tear away. They look at each other cautiously, not sure how to proceed, both stuck in their own feelings for the other. Kate encourages Eric to go after the job. He's used to dealing with bureaucracy, so it's a natural fit. He just needs to get creative with his resume. Eric shifts the topic, looking down at her notepad and seeing cartoon representations of Owen, Sophie, and Bruce, the dog, as superheroes. He comments, "Those are not fireflies." Kate explains, "My boss found my most recent ending for the short to be uninspired. So I'm trying to get out of my head and into my heart for inspiration. Eric looks at her softly with hearts in his eyes, and damn, his soft love gaze is super melt-worthy.
Do you have any feelings about his heart eyes, Corinne?
He's got me feeling the feels.
I guess so.
And yeah, I was like, ah, it's true, I want to bone Liam, but...
Let's just get you in a love sandwich between Liam and Eric then, shall we?
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I might not be successful in pushing a throuple in this outline, but I will make it happen in real life for you, Corinne.
Yes, 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 yes. Eric asks if he thinks she can get a sitter for tomorrow night, and she's pretty sure that Liam can take their kids. Eric says, great, because I have an idea for some inspiration for you, but you're going to have to wait until tomorrow to find out. It's a surprise.
I am not a parent, but I think I would have some reservations about leaving my kid with somebody I've never met before, because they're leaving Owen with Liam, and I don't believe he's met Liam, but she's gonna be like, he can stay with my ex-husband and my daughter. Can I meet him first? Is there a way we can see if that's gonna be possible or even a good idea?
I don't know. I did lots of babysitting for people I'd never met before, so.
I think I'm just more in tune with the helicopter parents that I've been around in all my jobs that require, like, kids and babies and whatnot, and that would not fly with a lot of people that I came across. Although, again, don't have kids. Speaking from the outside point of view, if I did have kids, I'm like, please take my child. Ma'am, I've just met you.
And I'm sure that she's talked about Liam some with Eric, and she hasn't been like, he's horrible, he, you know, blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah.
Mm-hmm. The next evening, everyone gathers at Kate's place, and when Kate comes downstairs with the perfect 90s burgundy lip and flower dress, Owen looks at her and says with admiration, wow, you look like a princess. And with that, Liam corrals the kids for dinner, and Eric and Kate leave to go stargazing in the park because astrology. Eric is prepared. He's brought a laminated map of the constellation and shares...
that's what Virgos do.
Yes. Especially Virgos bring laminated maps of the constellation.
Yes, they do, 100%.
Which they share with Kate. His favorite constellation story of Vega and Altair, two lovers who are separated by the Milky Way, but once a year are reunited. Kate thinks that story is sad, but Eric thinks that story has hope. He says, how many people can say, even if it's for one night a year, that for that moment, they were right where they were supposed to be? He's here for the big, meaningful, faded love. He then proceeds to wow Kate with the kid-friendly snacks he brought with him. Cheese puffs. Yes, please. Which Kate delightedly grabs from him. A bottle of wine labeled red. That one isn't kid-friendly and may not even be adult-friendly. My faith in that wine is pretty low. Not like, okay, pause. Pause the movie. Because... when Corinne first got here, we had to go get snacks because I haven't been home and there is no food in this house. So we went to Aldi, a place that Corinne has never been to and the place I've only gone to one. It's a grocery store, which is very much like we've decided a grocery outlet.
Yeah.
Bargain market. We found the most interesting wine selection, mm-hmm. one of which was a cherry wine, which doesn't sound that bad. But it's cherry wine mixed with cream.
Oh.
So it's like a cream liqueur cherry wine.
No.
Which surprisingly didn't have any bottles missing from the shelf. I wonder why.
They were saving them all for you.
Uh-huh.
And I'm saving all my cherry cream wine for you.
You don't have to because I'm not going to drink it. So we come to the conclusion, probably rightfully so, that Eric also went to Aldi's or the bargain market. Kate laughs at the wine, as do we all, and Eric proceeds to tell her that wine pairs well with PB&J. Yeah. But before he gets the J out of his mouth, she holds a finger to his lips and said, you had me at cheese puffs. Cheese puffs make everything better. Eric smiles. So anything could have happened tonight, but as long as it ended with cheese puffs, all's well that ends well. Kate gleefully agrees. Yep. Then she looks at him intensely. Can I say something awkward? He half smiles. That seems on brand. She lets him know that Carla told him about his wife and she's sorry for his loss. He thanks her and then asks what happened with Sophia's dad. Kate tells him that they met in high school, but earlier Liam said 7th grade. So maybe it's one of those like 6th grade to 12th grade situations.
Maybe.
Or Kate's a lying liar pants. Regardless, they met in their teens. Kate says, we got married way too young. We should have known from the beginning. Suddenly, she stops, gets a far-off look in her eyes, and says softly, beginning. She looks up at the stars and then excitedly states, I don't need a new end. I need a new beginning. I gotta go. Eric is super excited and they gather their stuff and get the fuck out of there.
You know, when she asks if she can ask an awkward question, and he says, well, that would be on brand. I did not write that line. That line was actually in the movie and I was delighted by it.
Yeah. Although I don't remember her asking a lot of awkward questions.
What, during the PTA meeting? She really put him on the spot with her questions. So, how about a theme? How about funnel cake? Oh, funnel cake is not awkward at all. It's beautiful, and every carnival should have it.
I don't think it was her questions. Those were more like her suggestions. Her very forceful suggestions.
Hey, she was right on everything, I've just got to say.
True, 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 true. She spends that night working it out, and when she gets into work the next day, she lets her team know that she's changed the beginning and the end, and it's, wait for it please, drum roll, a romance! Her team is simultaneously daunted by the new workload and excited by the romance of it all. And that's where I just wanted to say, remember when they said they had 6 weeks at the beginning? Uh-huh. So she's been gallivanting and lollygagging and just like doing her own thing, except for a couple of instances where she's sitting at her desk at work making very bad illustrations of bugs and frogs. And so I was like, the whole time they're going, you have 6 weeks. What are you doing? Get back to work. It's so hard to make that stuff. It's very time consuming. Believe me, I know. So I'm just like, the whole time that she's doing the PTA meeting, the dog swapping, the fucking, I'm going to volunteer for astronomy. I'm just like, girlfriend, is this all going to fall on your team? I don't think I'd like to be on your team.
She's like every manager. She comes with the ideas and then they make it happen.
Yeah, because like how much time is left now before
I think about 3 weeks probably.
No, because they said, how much was the time? Was it six weeks?
6 weeks. They broke and Eric and Bianca broke up at the 2 week mark. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing it's been about a week in since then.
Damn, Eric moves fast. Fuck Bianca, I have my eyes set on you.
Well, he had his eyes set on her as soon as he like broke up with her and picked up Owen from his date that he broke up with, because he looked at her and you could see things shift and there was the zing and he was like, oh shit. Mm-mm. She's the one who makes me smile. She's the one I want for a while. I'm still having fun because she's still the one.
Oh God, what's that? That I want to quote a movie, but I want to. No latch between the vag.
What?
Oh God, I love you, man. In that movie, I love you, man. Like,
who's in I Love You, Man?
Oh God,
I haven't seen it, but I know what it is in my head, but I can't pull it up.
Oh, Ant-Man.
Oh, yeah, I know. And he was in Clueless.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. God, it's going to bother me. Ant-Man. Don't tell me. Nope. Not coming to me. Paul Rudd. So Paul Rudd is perpetually in relationships. And when he tells this to his newfound friend, Jason Segel, he says, wow, no lag between the vag. What? What do you mean? He says, no lag time between vaginas. Like you just jump in from one relationship to another. Seems appropriate here. If he went from 1 week to the next with two separate women. Especially in a Hallmark movie. I'm just pointing that out.
Ooh.
So her team is simultaneously daunted by the new workload. I wonder why. And excited by the romance of it all. Later, when Kate is at the school talking to Carla about Sealant Eric.
She's talking about Sealant, Eric. Oh, sorry, I didn't. I did not punctuate like I should.
Because we all know that Eric is the glue that holds the story together.
He is.
Sealant really Eric.
With his love gaze.
When she's talking to Carla about Sealant, Eric sends her back to work until she's finished her short. She tries to protest, you're not the boss of me. But Eric retorts, no, but I am the president of the PTA, and my name is on the funnel cake lease.
Ooh.
Carla's eyes widen. You wouldn't. Eric chuckles. No, I wouldn't, but if you get that short done, I will guarantee you unlimited funnel cake. And I say, hi there, Eric. Talk dirty to me. That was Corinne's little insert, and I am here for it.
Uh-huh. I was like, and you disagree, Tamara?
No, no. I'm just thinking, like, deep down that poor Kate's team is, like, texting Eric going, can you please just make sure she doesn't take on any more responsibilities? We really need her to finish the short on time. I can't work any more 18-hour days. It's really affecting my mental health.
But do they? Do they?
I'm going to say in my story they do. Kate goes back to work, but she's not needed because her team needs to do what they do. So she,
God damn it.
So this is really a work of fiction. I'm just saying. Kate goes back to work, but she's not needed because her team needs to do what they do. So she makes an animation completely separate from the award-winning thing that is daunting for Eric to send out with his job application. That's pretty cute and shows Eric taking care of business and being a great dad.
Okay, but you gotta admit, there's nothing worse than you're trying to do what you need to do and your manager is all up in your junk.
Oh, no.
You know.
Thankfully, I don't have that. But at the same time, like, it takes a lot to animate. And not only did she give him a new ending, she gave him a new beginning. And she is the head animator at this firm. So theoretically, she would be diving in and taking her own chunk of the responsibility to handle on her own, which would be helping out her team greatly. Instead, her team's like, no, that's okay. There's only 17 hours before we got to get this thing done. You go ahead and make your own project that has nothing to do with what we're doing here.
Yay. Yay.
It's Hallmark World where there is 723 hours in the day.
Oh, well, you know, you always have time to do the dream animation, right? That's how you just got your portfolio done, just like that.
My portfolio is still not done, and I've been working on it since December, Corinne, and it is March. It's going to the dogs. What does that tell you? I have no feelings about this whatsoever.
Twitch, twitch, twitch. I need to get you a funnel cake. That's what this is really about.
Fair, fair.
Owen, Sophia, and Bruce have a great time at the carnival. While Owen, Sophia, and Bruce are playing, Eric nervously asks Kate out, and she says yes. At the end of the day, Kate and Eric put their sleeping kids in their respective cars and take a moment before they head home to chat. Kate says, "You gotta admit it," and Eric knows exactly what she's talking about. "You're right. The theme for the carnival worked." They stare at each other with hard eyes, but there are no kisses to be had. He wishes her sweet dreams. Swoon. And they say goodnight to each other.
I have to disagree. The Candyland theme was great, but it was not seen very much in the actual carnival.
I know. They could have made some, like, really cute and simple things to make it look like Candyland. Yeah. And, yeah, that theme was actually not very apparent in there.
I'm starting to be skeptical about Kate's execution for animation, if that was her vision for the carnival.
I'm going to blame the set designer.
Oh, can't we always? The set designer and now the casting crew, because that dog was not an elderly dog.
Seriously. Oh, Grampy dog over there? Grampy Bruce? That's what we call him. As the dog, like, sniffs some cocaine and jumps over fences.
Barrels over poor Sophia. Drags her by the leash across three city blocks.
And Owen's like, wow, look, she's flying.
Like a superhero. That's right, because that dog is high as fuck.
The next section I call, Everything's Coming Up Roses. But is it though?
Mm.
After Eric is presented a hand-drawn presentation from Owen over breakfast, and Kate is presented with another PowerPoint presentation by Sophia, can't stop, won't stop PowerPoint lover Healy, over breakfast as well, it is clear that Owen and Sophia have a solution to their Bruce issue. When all of them meet at the park for another Bruce swap, Kate and Eric talk while Sophia and Owen play with Bruce. Eric asks, were you treated to a presentation this morning? And Kate says, oh, you got the PowerPoint treatment as well? Eric laughs, no, that's not his style, but I did get multiple supporting illustrations. Kate's mood shifts, and I'm not looking forward to what she's going to say, and I don't think Eric is either, when she starts bringing up how she has intentionally not dated while Sophia is young because she doesn't want her to get attached to anyone and then get her heart broken. Yeah, sadly, that's one of those facts of life, but moving on.
And also, if you don't want her to get attached and heartbroken, don't share a fucking dog.
Seriously. Eric assures her, we'll take things slow and be clear with our kids. I have feelings towards you that I haven't felt in a long time, Kate is adamant. Did you get the same presentation that I got? Because it's pretty clear that our kids want us to get married and we haven't even gone on a first date.
Oh, wait, is this Fabu no Eudintuary?
I know, I felt, that's what I was like.
Read.
I just can't take the risk of breaking Sophia's heart. And I say, don't you think by doing this, you won't break her heart? Like, she's formed an attachment to Eric and Owen already. Mm-hmm. And you're going to be like, oh, no, we can't spend time with them. Like, that's going to break her heart regardless. Mm-hmm. Ooh. Mm-hmm. Kate ignores my interruption and tells Eric that they should take a break and just let the kids be friends. Eric looks at Kate, a sad smile flashing across his face, and he turns towards the kids. Owen, we gotta go, buddy.
Kate, say goodbye to Sophia. You're never gonna see her again.
Never again. Except at school. Oatland Elementary, where breakfast cereal rocks.
Made with all the artificial sugar and salt that you can stomach.
Yay! Kate apologizes, and Eric responds, I get it. You're doing what you think is right. And he walks off with his kiddo. Kate pulls herself together, asking Sophia, who wants ice cream? The next time they all meet up for a Bruce swap, Eric and Kate wordlessly stare at each other. While the leash gets passed and they silently part ways, the kids smile at each other and do a little distance fist bump before they part. Yes, Kate, this is definitely better. Good move.
Awkward. No, it's not.
Like, you've already introduced him into your child's life, yeah. So you just gotta run with it.
Yeah. You stay in the car, Sophia. I don't want you interacting with Eric and Owen, okay? I'm just gonna give them the leash and they're gonna go on their way and you can pretend like you don't see each other.
See, doesn't that feel really good?
Yeah. You're not attached at all, right? You're right? Over it. You're totally over it. You never want to see him again and it's fine. It's fine. Mm-hmm. But that's not what happens. What happens instead is in Kate's life, she's finished her short and her boss loves it. She's a success. Or is she? Because later that night, after Sophia's gone to bed, we see her sitting sadly on the couch, anchor watching a romance. Liam comes by to give her some invitations to the animation festival that he's made, and he knows something is up. He checks in with her and she's fine. She's fine. Really. Liam tries again. I know we're divorced, but I also like to think that we're friends. What's going on? I can tell you're not happy. It's the dog debt, isn't it? What did he do? Kate admits. He didn't do anything. He's amazing, but I can't do it to Sophia. I can't risk hurting her. Liam reminds her. We've raised a really kick-ass kid, given her tools to deal with hard times, and she's resilient, smart, and amazing. But I don't think you're actually worried about her. I think you're worried about yourself. Ooh. We started dating when we were 17, in 7th grade. And you've never been in adult love, and it's a different experience. But I know you can put yourself out there, and it doesn't matter how much you plan. Life takes a hammer to the strongest of plans sometimes. Things are unpredictable. She looks over at him with a sad smile. You've come a long way from the angsty teenager that I dated. Liam sits back on the sofa. Yeah, whatever. You better go after what you want, though, because I don't have a lot of these speeches left in me. Kate feels better, and Liam and Kate finish out their evening watching the rest of the romance she was watching without him. Later at Oatland will not bind you up like those other carbohydrate-y cereals. Elementary. Sophia has called Owen into a secret mission. She hands him an envelope in obvious child's handwriting that says, Eric. She says, Super Brother, I have a mission for you. Give this to your dad and tell him it's from my mom. Owen excitedly grabs the envelope. Mission accepted. But later, a kink is thrown into Sophia's plan when, unbeknownst to her, Kate is pacing around outside of Eric's brownstone. She has an invitation and is trying to work up the courage to put it through the mail slot when Eric pulls up front after having picked up Owen from school. She nervously gives him the invite, and he shows her the invite he already received. Owen knows that the gig is up and runs up the stairs into the house, yelling, Abort! Abort! But Eric graciously says, How can I refuse after being doubly invited? They part ways, and the next day everyone gets dressed up for the premiere of Light the Way at the Georgia Short Animation Festival. We get to see the part of the film that has a firefly following a distant flash of another firefly past all the obstacles. Eventually, they meet in the rain, and the animation pans up to the night sky and a beautiful view of the Milky Way. Everyone loves it and goes wild. Woo! At the end of the showing, there's a Q&A on stage where Kate answers some questions and confesses. Originally, I thought doing a love story was cliche, so I wasn't going to, but then a very good friend showed me how important love was and that it's one of the ways we show each other that we belong and everyone deserves to belong. Fireflies, shelter dogs, and maybe even me. Eric is freaking out. She's talking about him. Eee! Or rather, he sits quietly in his chair with a little hope in his heart and a little love in his eyes. I like the freaking out version better. Afterwards, Eric congratulates her on the grand jury prize, saying, "Your movie was incredible." He also lets her know that he had an interview for the housing job, and they complimented him on his animation and his cover letter. He let them know a really rad woman made it for him. Kate looks at him softly with hearts in her eyes. "You know, I've been thinking, having one date with you wouldn't bring about the end of the world, so if you're up for it, I'd love to." He moves in and gives her a dry kiss, and then they go in for a second and a third. The forced kiss brings us to a change of scene where they're in the park. Perhaps a happy family? Question mark. Walking off together as a foursome with Bruce instead of parting ways in the park like they have so many times in the past. The end. When I said that the wrong way, I'm like imagining Bruce like plowing through a group of people.
Yes.
I'm like, that checks out. Yeah.
As Bruce is wont to do.
Yes. Corinne, what did you think of Love to the Rescue?
Love to the Rescue. Of the dog Hallmark movies that I tried watching, Love to the Rescue was tops.
Oh, okay.
Tops. That having been said...
Can I get the Corinne interpretation of that, please?
I'll give it 3 dry kisses.
Okay.
It was solid Hallmark fare. I enjoyed it. I thought there were some really good moments in it. It had a very little diversity in it.
Mm.
Yeah. So that's my take on the whole thing. What about you?
How can you say that? It had an elderly dog, Corinne.
Oh, right. Seeing your representation, an elderly dog played right. by a 2-year-old dog.
Uh-huh. Yes. Yes. I am going to give this movie... waffling between 2.5 and 3 dry kisses.
Okay.
Like, I like the storyline. It was sweet. Mm-hmm. It might be mean, please don't kill me, but like the single parents trying to merge their families and taking their kids into consideration, just like it's a legitimate thing that people have to deal with. And I yeah. understand that. But when you put it in a romance movie, it's just, you start thinking about the kids and the parents, just like we did here. Like, do you really want to share a dog? Like, that's fucked up. You're saying that you don't want your kids to get attached, and yet you're going to dangle this dog in front of them and share him for a month and then rip him away. And it just kind of takes out of the romance for me. So yeah, I think I'm going to park it 2.5 dry kisses.
Okay.
Yeah. That, and then just the whole Bruce is an elderly dog. And this, I have 6 weeks to do this animation, and I'm going to take 17 different tasks on in addition to it, and they're not even going to need me at the end to even help out because I am fantastic. So it just didn't, I didn't get hearts in my eyes over this movie, and sadly I really wanted to because I love movies with dogs. So I'm going to give it 2.5 dry kisses. Also, no diversity, and they really fucked up their kids by sharing this dog for a month. I'm going to die on that hill.
So, Tamara, what movie are we doing next week?
Next week, we are doing Bridesmaids. Is this March has gone to the dogs month? Yes. Does Bridesmaids have dogs in it? Yes, in a small portion that is very relevant to the storyline. Okay, not really, but still there's dogs.
So it counts.
It does.
It counts. Fantastic. If you have anything that you'd like to say about Bridesmaids, or March is going to the dogs, or the fantastic Hallmark movie, Love to the wee rescue. You can email us at onedrykiss@gmail.com, or you can reach out to us via the social medias, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all at onedrykiss.
And that's one spelled O-N-E. And as always, if you could find the time to rate and review us, we'd greatly appreciate it. But in the meantime, we appreciate you stopping by and listening, and we bid you adieu with
one dry kiss. Mwah!
Okay, see you next time.
See you next time with Scooby Snack. Later at Oatland Elementary.
Is that your pot?
Oh, shit. No, it's not. Thank you. I'm sorry.
I don't need to be here at all. Go ahead, Corinne.
No. No. I'm just going to hide. Don't mind me.
Okay, Missy May. I think you're trying to steal the show. Love to the Rescue, the Melody Edition.
How much is that dog in the window? Roo, roo. I do hope that dog is for sale. Roo, roo. How much is that dog in the window? Roo, roo. The little one wagging its tail. Roo.